Okay, so now I'm going to introduce Abby Mahoney. Abby is mama to 5 kids, lovely wife to Micah Mahoney, our new worship pastor. And so Abby is going to share with us her testimony as it's in regards to worship. And then she's also going to share about why we worship and how we worship. Okay? So go ahead.
Okay. Abby. Well, thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Wow. Well, I am just very honored and privileged to get to speak with you today. Before I start, I think I'll just lead us in a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you've called us sons and daughters, called to be worshipers. We just invite you here today, and we just say, Lord, we want to learn from you. Father, I want to speak your heart about worship, because we want to be true worshipers of you, God. So we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to learn together, to press into your heart for worship. And we just ask that you would lead us as we dive into this new study. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, I'm very excited to have this conversation with you about worship. When Bonnie first asked me to speak on worship, I was like, yes, I love worship. I love to worship. Talk about worship. Okay, I can talk about worship. It's such a broad, like, conversation. There's a lot to it, and the more we study and learn about it, the more broad we realize it really is. I am not a theological expert on worship, but I am a worshiper, and you are a worshiper, and you are a worshiper, and you are a worshiper. The sons and daughters of God are marked by their devotion and worship. You may not play an instrument or lead songs at church, but if you are a follower of Christ, then you are a worshiper. And you're going to find as we read through this book that our definition and understanding of worship is going to broaden and expand. And we want it to, because I think most of us don't fully understand what worship really is. We often limit it to a moment, to a song, to an experience we hope to have on Sundays. But it goes beyond that. The reality is, it's a life pursuit. It's a journey. It's daily surrender, and it's daily revelation. It refines us. And so I want to share with you today a little bit about my personal testimony, stepping into worship. I remember learning to worship from my dad. He loved to worship. He loved to grab his guitar and write songs, and he would often invite my siblings and I to sit with him and sing with him. He loved it when we would sing the songs he would write. He loved to organize worship nights where we would just spend time with our community, just pressing into the heart of God and lifting him up. And I was raised doing mostly home church, so I didn't have, we didn't go to like an established organized church that often. Every once in a while in different seasons we would. But for the most part, we did a lot of home gatherings. And so it wasn't until I was in college that I was attending the International House of Prayer conference in Kansas City that I really didn't experience a lot of the modern worship scene or of a lot of organized worship. And but what I encountered at those events, at these conferences, radically marked me. Like, they really transformed me. They awakened something in me, because what I saw was a group of young people and adults and just the body of God, like, pressing into his presence corporately. And we weren't just singing about God and just lifting him up, but we were experiencing him, and his power was transforming lives in those times. And I was just undone. Like, it was more, it just took me beyond where I had gone. Like, I loved worship, and I loved worshiping with my family. But it was like I stepped into a new, like, realm and dimension of worship, realizing he wants to have conversations with us. He wants to be involved with us. He wants to speak to me in these times of intimate worship. And it stirred me. It stirred me so much. I remember going home after going to this one of the conferences, and I found my sister's piano. I didn't play an instrument, but I found her piano in the garage, and I would just start playing. And I would just start pressing in because I was like, I am hungry for more. Like, I've tasted and I've seen, and I want more of this in my life. And so I would spend my evenings just pounding out the piano and just finding my voice in that time. They became like times of like confession, and I would sing about what I saw. I'd sing about what I felt or what I desired, or Lord, what you showed me today. I would just give it back to him. And in those times of pressing in, I gained clarity for my life. I gained revelation for my life and for who he was. I remember I would have, you know, different instances where I needed to hear from him. And it was through those times of pressing in that I felt like I would get his heart on a matter. And then it would give me the courage, and I would feel like I would have a bolstering of his spirit to then go and deal with those things. And so I just feel like it was such a marking time in my life when I pressed in worship. The more I beheld him, the more I wanted to look like him, and the more I wanted to spend my life running after the Lord and being yielded to him. So worship in my life produced a yielded and surrendered heart. Because you see, worship is something that I believe we were innately born to do. We were made to declare the greatness of God, to testify of who he is. And yet, it does not always come naturally to us, right? But I feel like when we really align with what God has made us to do, I believe that's when we fully come alive. And we're going to spend our lives like choosing who to devote our worship to, right? Like, it doesn't just go anywhere. We have to bestow worship. We have to choose to pour it out. We were made to pour out. We were made to be vessels poured out. And so what are we pouring out? And who are we pouring it out on? I want to talk specifically about two things today. Why do we worship? And how do we worship? So why? Why do we worship? We worship because of who God is. We worship from a place of revelation. I am moved by the love of God in my life to worship him. Look at what he's done. Look at what he's given me. Look at what he saved me from. I can't help but worship. We worship what we behold. From a place of revelation of who God is, I receive identity about who I am. I am a daughter of God. I am a child of the King. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when I know who I am, then I begin to really understand whose I am. And then I can't help but worship. I belong to the great I am, the everlasting King, the one who was, the one who is, the one who will be. That's who I belong to. So revelation of who God is causes me to worship. It's a beautiful cycle. I see who God is. I can't help but worship. And in this place of worship, I receive new revelation of who God is. And wow, I can't help but worship. And it goes on and it goes on. I'm not going to pretend that worshiping always comes easily for me. I don't know if it comes always very easily for you. I often have to have a heart check when I'm struggling to worship and to press in. Sometimes it's, I don't feel like it today. My heart is heavy. I'm dealing with some other stuff. The lights at church are too bright. I don't like this song. I don't like the way they're singing it. Like, I have to deal with all of these things too, but I realize that when I'm struggling to press in, it's because I'm looking at myself and I'm not looking at him. And so I just want to encourage you in those times when you're struggling to press in, I don't feel like I can worship like they can worship. We just lift our eyes, declare who he is, who you know him to be. And the more we press in and refocus our gaze, he comes. He gives revelation and he moves our hearts. So why we worship? Because of the revelation of who he is. The second question I wanted to speak to is, how do we worship? And here's where the John chapter 4 passage comes in regarding worshiping in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? Jesus was talking to the woman at the well about a time coming in the future where the followers of God would worship in spirit and in truth. He was saying a day is coming where the truth of the Bible would be complemented by his Holy Spirit, refining us, leading us, producing good fruit in our lives. We would gain fresh revelation birthed by the Spirit and balanced by his word. walking hand in hand. So we press in. God, I need more of you. He brings revelation. We know his scripture. We know his word. We know what to do with that. And so we walk with both of these truths. But how do we worship in this way? It's through surrender. It's through being yielded to the Lord. It's giving his spirit permission to lead us and instruct us. I can tend to be a very literal person. And so I was like, as I was processing worship, I was like, but what does worship literally mean? So I wanted to look at the word worship. And in Hebrew, the word is shachah. And it literally means to bow down. But what is interesting about this word is that depending on the context, it's translated as a physical act, a posturing of our bodies, or as an action, something done sacrificially. In Genesis 23:7, Abraham bowed before the Hittites. So we see the physical act of bowing or of humbling oneself. But in Genesis 22:5, Abraham informs his servant that he and Isaac will go up to the mountain and shachah, worship. It's used as a verb here. In this context, we see the act of obedience being offered up as worship because Abraham was willing to offer his only son to the Lord sacrificially. This type of worship is costly. So from the Hebrew word shachah, we see that worship is physical posturing and also spiritual posturing.
And what?
Physical and spiritual. We're not just called to humble our hearts and our bodies during devoted times of worship. We experienced doing that corporately on Sunday. We pressed in and we bowed low and we honored the Lord with our bodies, but we're also called to humble our lives through obedience and through sacrifice to him. Worship is inextricably linked to obedience and sacrifice. I felt the Lord reminding me of all the passages we have read in Deuteronomy about obeying the Lord. He sees your obedience as costly worship to him. Abraham's sacrifice was certainly going to cost him something, his only son. And when he went to offer him as a sacrifice, as part of his worship, it blessed the Lord's heart. The life of a worshiper is a life laid down, a life humbled and bowed low, walking in the Spirit, listening to what he says, and then doing it. My worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. We can come together on Sunday morning and lift up his name together, but a sacrifice of praise is birthed through a week of surrender, a heart of obedience submitted to God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He wants all of us, our whole selves, to be surrendered to him. I've been called to motherhood in this season of my life, and worshiping the King in this season oftentimes looks very different than it did in previous seasons. It has some very costly moments in it, a lot of surrender in it. But I know he sees me in it. I know he receives the offering that I give him when I rise up, even though it's not a conscientious every morning, God, I'm getting up this morning for you. I'm getting up for my children right now, you know? But I know he sees that and I know he receives that. I want to exalt him throughout it. I want to surrender to him in it. I know many of you are in seasons right now that are unlike any other season you've experienced. Maybe it's a dry season, a hard season, a season where you're relying on wells dug in prior times. But I want to tell you today, he sees your sacrifice. He's blessed by your heart. He receives it as worship. He's pleased with you. Just one glimpse of your eye and he's captivated, as it says in Song of Solomon. So don't be discouraged when you don't feel filled up from a worship service. Look for him in the moments at the kitchen sink, as you're watching a grandbaby, as you're tending to an elderly parent or a sick spouse. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss him. He won't let you. He loves to reward those who seek him, to reward those who offer their all to him. In Genesis 22:17, after Abraham has been willing to sacrifice his son and God provides a sacrifice, the Lord says, "Because you heard my voice and obeyed, I will surely bless you." And I just feel like he has such good things for us. His presence is a blessing. His presence is a reward. And I feel like throughout the week, as you surrender, as you lay it down, as you're pressing into more of him, he will reward you with himself. He will come. He is so near, and he so longs to come. I think about all the women throughout the Bible that it's in their doing. In the moment, he comes, and he meets with them. So my prayer is that as you surrender each week, each day, that you would encounter the Lord, that you would meet him, that you would see him. And I believe that as we continue to press into his presence and surrender our lives and offer them as worship to the Lord, he's going to draw us closer together as a body too. And I believe that it's going to spill out into our times of gathering, our corporate times, because we build all week, right? Like we surrender and we receive revelation, and then we come together and it's like, oh, look who he is. Look what he's done. And it just spills over. And he loves to come and inhabit the praise of his people. And so I believe as we come together and we draw close to the Lord throughout the week and then draw close to each other in the weekend and lift up the Lord together, he's going to come and he's going to move in our midst because it's what he loves to do. He wants to take us deeper. He wants us to go further from glory to glory. So that's what I wanted to share with you today. You're worshipers. We're worshipers. Thank you. It's a little different. I know a lot of us, for me, for most of my life, worship was experiential. It was moments. It was music. And it's really been a season of learning it, the season of motherhood pulled me out of a lot of my devoted times of worship, and I had to surrender, I had to yield, and it was a dying. There was a lot of dying that happened in that place, going, I'm not seen anymore, God. I don't see anything. I don't see anybody. I don't. It's just me and this child, and the Lord's like, and I'm here, and I want to meet with you here. So, any questions? Yes.
You said something so amazing, but I didn't get it all.
Okay.
Even when you depend on prior done well.
Yes. So I was saying that in seasons where, okay, so maybe you're in a hard season right now. It's a dry season, and you're having to rely on wells that you've dug in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, I mentioned the seasons of being able to press in devoted times of worship. In my garage, just me and my piano, like I dug deep wells with the Lord, and like he met me there. And in other seasons where it's dry and hard, I can go back to that. I can remember what he did, and I can pull on that. And it bolsters me up, right? Like, because I'm dry and but I remember. And I remember what you said at that time, and I'm gonna bring it into my life right now. Yes.
Hi. You know, I was a worship leader for many years. And those moments of worship, I mean, they were so impactful, as you were saying. And then I would have to go back to work. What I had to find out, sort of the hard way, was that it is a daily worship.
Yeah.
As you were saying, he wanted that worship in doing the dishes, going to work, how I treated my coworkers, you know, mm-hmm. if I did my job with excellence or not in his name.
Yeah.
And so I so appreciate your word today because it really gives that entire picture of what can be a very hard long-term lesson if one were not to, like, surrender, as you said, at this moment in time.
So yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. I was thinking, because for a while, I know I used to, before I really stepped into leading worship, I could idolize worship and idolize worship leaders and people who moved in the presence of God and were, you know, anointed. And I began to realize, like, I would have to do a heart check because you can easily turn something also from an encounter to entertainment, right? It was spiritual entertainment. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And I would be moved emotionally by it. but I realize most of the revelation that I've received from the Lord has come from the pulled back, it's me and you, and what are you saying to me? And it's, he's not impressed with stages. He's not moved by me being on a stage here any more than he's being moved by you at home painting or you doing what God has called you to do. So I think we often too don't realize what our yes can lead to in those moments of surrender. You know, look at Mary. The angel of the Lord comes to her in the middle of her doing, and he tells her what they want, what the Lord wants to do and birth through her. And she says, "Be it unto me." Like, I'm your servant. You have my yes. We have the Messiah through her. Her yes, like, and I just think sometimes the Lord's like, can I have your yes? Like, you don't know what I want to do with this yes. And it wasn't on a stage that Mary received revelation. It wasn't out in this huge, you know, field where everyone could see. It was in the quiet of her home. The Lord came and met. And would you partner with me in this? And so I think we underestimate those moments, those quiet, simple moments. And the Lord's like, but I want to do something big in this yes right now, too.
So just a thought to add. I think that if you have trouble with your yes, I think go back and ask the Lord to really confirm and reveal to you more fully his love for you and your identity. Because if you look at, because then your yes, you can, it doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. You can say yes. It can be something great, mm-hmm. or it can be something very humble. But if you look at Jesus in John 13, verse 3, he says, this is when they're having their the Last Supper, and he says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, knowing that he was going back to God, he gets up, lays aside his garments, takes the towel, and girds himself, and does the lowest, most menial, despised job of washing the disciples' feet.
So you shared already a little bit. You did such a great job with this, by the way.
Thank you.
It's really amazing. One of the things I wanted to ask you, you kind of shared a little bit about the dying to self place, the having to surrender when you couldn't worship, because it was the love of your heart. Mm-hmm. It was a painful thing when you weren't able to operate at that level.
Yeah.
Coming out on the other side of that, can you share a little bit of what you gleaned?
Well, I think learning to, or allowing the Lord to help you surrender something that you hold dear for a season. Like for me, leading worship regularly and having to lay that down. And I got to find the Lord in more intimate ways at home with my family. I think after going through that season and then being called back into worship ministry and worship leadership, I don't take it for granted. And I think I realized I needed a dying process. I needed to be completely emptied of myself. Anything I thought I was, anything I think I am, like it's still a continually like refining and dying. But I just realized like, you just want me. You want me here. You want me as I am. And so now being called back into worship, I want to be willing to take what he taught me in those times and bring them to worship now. If I'm willing to break the alabaster jar in private with him, at home with him, I want to break it in the public too. There should be no difference. But I want to keep that heart posture that it's for you, Lord. It's for you. Whether you have me in this season here with my children, with my babies, it's for you. It's for you. Whether you have me on a stage leading your children, it's for you. It's for you. And so it is a continual renewing of my mind and my heart. But I want to be poured out. Whether it's at home, I want to be poured out at home. Whether it's on stage, I want to be poured out. And so I think it's done a work of like surrendering my mind and my heart and my will. It's no longer just, I want to sing the songs that I was moved by as a youth. You know, I want to be part of that experience. I just want to bless his heart. Okay.
Thank you, Abby.
Yes. I appreciate you.